Welcome to Lickin' On Leadership.
The purpose of this program is to bring to you interviews with industry leaders.
A weekly podcast bringing you leaders of the real estate and mortgage industry.
And I can't think of anyone better to join me in this role of providing this co-hosting role than one of the top leaders in our industry, and that's Mark Jones of AmeriFirst Mortgage Banking Group.
And here's the host of Lickin' On Leadership, David Lickin and Mark Jones.
Folks, I'm excited to introduce you to a dear friend and true mortgage industry leadership. This is the Lickin' On Leadership podcast, and we have one of the iconic leaders with us, Barry Habib. Barry, thanks so much for taking a few minutes out of your day to share with our audience who you are and your journey in this industry. Thank you, friend.
Well, thanks, David. So, yeah, it's been a long time in the industry, 33 going on my 34. Fourth year. Oh, goodness gracious.
That's a long time.
That's a long time, yeah. Where does the time go?
Well, you've got so much passion, and you can tell when people are passionate about something. Time flies when you're joined. What's the saying, Barry, that it says, find something you love to do and you'll never work another day in your life? You love what you do, and for you, this has got to be kind of almost fun. At least it looks like it every way you approach it.
It is. And God's honest truth, I every day can't wait for tomorrow. I really wait for tomorrow because we feel like we're doing a lot of good and we're helping people, and that's what it's all about. So when you say who you are, I mean, I know what my purpose is. My purpose is to help others out there. You know, I'm very clearly defined what my purpose is. I'm very comfortable with what I'm doing and why I'm here. And started off a long time ago. Look, I grew up extremely poor, David. I grew up in Brooklyn, New York. My parents were immigrants, lost my dad when I was a young boy. So really had to grow up kind of quickly. And, you know, my mom worked in a sweatshop, you know, where they sew dresses. So I know what it's like to be very poor. So I have a deep passion and understanding for people who are not as fortunate. And I really think it's wonderful for us to try and help those people. You know, you asked a question of me and just, you know, when we were just chatting, you know, who are some of the mentors and who are the leaders? And I've got to say, a lot of the mentorship I received was from my mom. And
wow.
We were very poor, but she would always set an example of, although we didn't have much, of being a giver and trying to help people. And I remember clearly, vividly, you know, riding in the subway with her, and you know, she had this like little gold change. It wasn't real gold; it was just gold color, like change pouch. And when she would see people on the subway that were really hurting, or you know, like the real disability, even though we had like nothing, she found a way to give.
Wow.
She found a way to give them, and she would literally teach me this. She would literally say, look, it's good to help people. You know, it's good to help people.
Okay.
And, it kind of sticks with you.
Well, and it has, because that is probably one of the hallmarks of what I've experienced as I've gotten to know you and have become in a real good friendship with you, Barry, is so much evidence of what you do to give out to others. Let's talk about how you got started in the mortgage industry. Was it accidental? Was it intentional?
Just like everybody else, it's pretty much accidental for all of us, isn't it? Nobody goes to school thinking
like
that's what
most of
us do. So yeah, I was a young kid selling stereos out of the trunk of my car. I was an enterprising kid, so started to buy real estate properties with some of the money that I was making.
Really?
And yeah.
How old were you at that point?
25.
Wow, 25.
So started buying real estate, and then you know I sat down with one of the guys doing one of the mortgages that I had done. I said, "How do you guys do in the business? I mean, I went to school. I got a degree in finance and economics. So tell me, what's the magic here? You know, can you do real well? This and that. And you know what? On a whim, I got into the mortgage business. I made a career change because I thought I could do well with it. Well, you know what? I didn't have any idea on how tough it was going to be. So during the day, while realtors were turning me down because I was some young green kid, you know, I said, hey, I've got to be successful here because I just had twins born. So my two babies, Dan and Nicole at the time, who were 2 months old as I got into the mortgage business, goes to show you how when you're young, you make some crazy decisions, right?
Wow.
I wasn't going to let them down. So listen, and this is what every one of us has to tap into, is success has to happen for you. You know, can't let yourself down. You can't let the people you love down. Find out what motivates you. So you know what I did? I went out at night and I knocked on people's doors, literally asking them if they wanted to refinance. Now, some people threw me out. Some people actually even called the cops. But I wrote in my third week in the business, not total for 3 weeks, in just that third week, I wrote 16 loans. In one
week.
3 weeks in the business. third week, that particular week, wrote 16 transactions that week, and it was all from talking to people. And, you know, I learned a lot of lessons. I learned so many lessons as a kid. I learned things like when I was selling stereo equipment, you know, if something would go wrong. Now, here I'm selling stereos out of the trunk of my car, but I was a good kid always, just the way I was raised. I was a good boy, and, you know, if somebody had an issue or a problem, they would call. I would respond, which shocked them that somebody would actually pick up the phone. I would go there. I would exchange it. I would fix it. And what I really learned was that when people saw that, they almost felt obligated to either buy more stuff from you or tell everybody about you. So I didn't do it because of that. I did it because it was the right thing to do. But the lesson the lesson I really learned here was that problems can really be amazing opportunities at strengthening relationships. And you know, Dave, when you talk about giving and things like that, look, there are people who get it in life. You're one of those guys who get it. And the people who get it know that life's about relationships. Life is not about taking every last nickel off the table. Life's not about winning at everything you do. You want to win. Sure, you have to have a desire to win, of course. But life is about experience and relationship. And, you know, even if you help somebody and they thank you, I almost always turn it around and thank them. And why would I thank them for taking something? I thank them for allowing me to feel so good about who I am and what I am and the things that I'm doing. That's priceless to me because
that's wonderful.
There's no feeling like that.
There is nothing quite like that. When you are enhancing and strengthening someone else's life, it always comes back. And it's a principle that I just so solidly believe in. It's the core of who I am, and I know that's who you are. Let's talk about how you went from knocking on doors in your earliest days, third week, doing 16 loans in your third week. That's just amazing. How did you go from there to where you're at today? Walk us through the path. You said you got a college education in finance and economics, correct? Where did you get that from?
Baruch College, that was my major. And then I started to grow in the mortgage business. And I was named by Mortgage Broker and Mortgage Originator Magazine, top originator in the country. So I'd done some
pretty big numbers. What years was that, Barry?
1992, okay. Did $150 million plus, you know, those years. So those are big numbers back then. Today, so many
those
people
are,
do
yeah.
so much more volume than that. Oh, my gosh, they crush those numbers. But back then, that was pretty darn good volume to be doing. And so I had a company
and in a tough competitive market, too.
It was very tough, yes. In 1989, I started a company called Certified Mortgage Associates and built that into a very nice company. And then I had this idea about sharing the way I do business with others in understanding the marketplace because it worked for me. And so I started to put stuff out there without thinking anything of it, where I was giving advice and putting out emails, and people kept asking me, hey, could you put me on this email? Could you put me on this? So in 2001, I started Mortgage Market Guide, which grew and became pretty ubiquitous in the industry. 2006, I did not like where the industry was headed. By the way, I continued to give and put stuff out, and because of that, CNBC picked me up. They put me on my own show for 13 years on CNBC. I was on just about every other network all the time, Bloomberg and Fox. And so it was a very, very CNN, CNN, FN, a lot of media exposure. And as you know, I started speaking. And that platform really put me in a nice position to start a Mortgage Market Guide. That grew to be just an enormous organization. And along the way, started CMPS because I felt that that was what was needed. So I created CMPS. I had some people that eventually I sold it to and put in positions with CMPS. But I had that idea and brought that to the industry. And there was a lot of other companies that I helped along the way, some really nice companies that I helped. But I didn't like the industry at the end of 2006. I felt that housing was scary. I felt loans didn't make sense. So we hired an investment banker. And in 2007, put MBS Highway up for sale and was very, very blessed and fortunate that closed and sold that company very, very close to before the trouble started to hit. So we were really blessed and fortunate
good.
And lucky.
Your timing, yeah.
It was fortunate timing. So after that, you know, I kind of stayed there for a while, but I did some other kind of really cool things. I always had a passion for the arts as well and did Rock of Ages on Broadway and then brought that worldwide.
Oh, I love that story.
Took it to a movie. It was a wonderful show and experience. Believe it or not, I did some acting. I was in 9 movies, some of them pretty good movies.
I did
but
not
I was
know
in.
That. that.
Miles. So I have an understanding and appreciation for that. So tried to have some fun along the way. Hey, you know, I still sing in a band, right, with some good. And even in spite of me, great our band's really good in spite of me.
You're good. You got a great voice. I'm a vocal major, so I think I'm a pretty decent critic, and I love your voice. I love the whole band. But I think it's like music, and, you know, someone's heart comes through in their music.
Yes,
And you can tell. That's one of the reasons I like your music, because it's in the heart.
So 5 years. Thanks, brother. So 5 years ago, started MBS Highway. And, you know, when we first started, and here's something I just want to share with you, okay?
Now, you sold it, though, started, right? Did you
sell
it? No, MBS
Highway I have. And the mortgage market guy I sold, but MBS Highway I started.
That's the mortgage market
ago.
Guy you sold. That's right. That's right.
Correct.
That's what you sold.
Correct.
Okay.
So MBS Highway, when I started it 5 years ago, and this is the thing that we all have to, I want to just want to get a little deep here, and I want to just be, I want to tell you from my heart. So when I started MBS Highway, we had a little early success. And then we kind of plateaued. We kind of, things weren't really, and look, no matter how many things that I was been blessed with and other achievements that I had had, confidence is so fleeting. And I remember asking myself, I said, what's wrong with me? Did I lose my touch? Am I unable to, this is, you know, the stuff that goes through all of our minds.
Right.
When you hit a soft patch, like we're all going to do, like we all have, you start to really question yourself. What I did was I dug down really deep and I said, well, you know, we modeled MBS Highway kind of after what I did at Mortgage Market Guide, but the market has changed. And what I really need to do is adapt to the changes and find out what really has to happen here to help people in the current environment. And that's where we started to develop all of these tools within MBS Highway to, instead of just focus on rate and focus on advice on rate, still do that better than anyone, but now focus on how can we help the mortgage professional gain and protect their realtors, and how do we help them convert by being a real advisor and an expert in the real estate market. After all, the business we're in, we say we're in the mortgage business, but nobody wants a mortgage. They want a home. We need to understand we're in the business of real estate and money. And so we went about a course of trying to teach people that. And I think making that change was critical, because we have just been growing like a weed. It's been skyrocketing. Our renewal rates are through the roof. And it's because I think that we continuously adapt. Every 3 weeks, believe it or not, we put out new tools and new things.
Wow.
Every 3 weeks. Okay. So we are constantly adapting to the changing marketplace. And it always gives people that subscribe to us. If somebody subscribed to us a year ago and they said, I paid this much for my subscription a year ago, that's what I thought I was getting. The reason they always continue with us is because it's like we give them so much more than they ever imagined. So they thought they were getting this, but we give you much more than you bargained for. And that's what you need to do with your customer and your real estate agent. Let them
think
that
the agreement
is for this, but give them so much more. Don't just say it. Don't just, under promise and over deliver. No. Live it.
Yeah, it's such a good point. It's a good point. It's a good place in the interview to really just say, if folks go out to mbshighway.com and subscribe to the service, look around there. There's so much information. I don't care how many years. I've been in this industry for 45 years. I read this every single day. I listen to every phone call that Barry gives out, because that he's taking the time to digest and then delivers it to you and just hands it to you on a platter. So check it out, mbshighway.com. Barry, I want to talk about who has influenced you. You talked about your mom early on, but professionally, who are some of the people and why?
Well, from an educational standpoint, and also just because I love the man, Art Cashin, who's a dear friend of mine, he's been a mentor and a friend. So I think he certainly deserves a lot of credit. There's a gentleman who is a...
We should interject right at that point. You have Cashin's Corner on the homepage of your website. You get his feedback, and you've integrated him. Not only has he been a mentor, but you integrate what he writes on your website.
I have dinner with Art once a month or once every 2 months. And Arthur is kind enough to every day give us his insights on the market. It's kind of like being inside the huddle at a football game. So it's really valuable. But people that I really admire that are dear friends, people like John Walden, one of the smartest guys out there, Peter Bookfarr, these are people that I'm friends with. But there is another gentleman. His name is Jack Grummet. And Jack Grummet is someone who really took a liking to me that when I was a young kid, and taught me and introduced me to a couple of things. One was technical analysis, which, by the way, the person who brought technical analysis, Japanese candlesticks, to the U.S., Steve Nissen, he was also a mentor, and he taught me as well. So I learned from some of the best people. But what Jack also taught me was something extraordinarily valuable. And that was just a way of thinking. what Jack taught me, and just imagine this for a second, is to see differently. He saw everything big. He saw everything, well, what if we did this and took it here? I mean, he's the guy that created Manhattan Bagels. He created Joanne's Nut House. So he had companies that became national names and public companies. And the way that he looked at everything was, okay, well, I'm not just going to do this for this. I want to do it. And what if we did this to make it big? How do we make it enormous? How does it become where everybody knows what it is? And the reason why I point to him is that he literally opened my mind at a young age to thinking about things differently. And I would love for people here that are listening to just think about that. When you hear people that have had some success, you know, part of that is they thought about it differently. They thought about this on a much grander scale than many of us, than I did, certainly when I was younger, but now it's a different approach. You always should be thinking much, much, much larger.
That's so much information just right there. How can we learn more about him? I want to go research this gentleman. How do you spell his name? How can we learn more about him?
Jack Grummet, G-R-U-M-M-E-T. And Jack is someone who's now retired. So he's just comfortable living in Florida now. But he was an important mentor of mine. Another guy that I've met a few times and spent some time with that I was inspired by was Jack Welch was another guy that I've had the pleasure of being inspired by.
You know,
in your life, there are so many people that you talk to that inspire, you know. I'll tell you what, David, every time that I'm with you, I'm inspired when I'm with you because you're just the type of person that you always look for the good in people. You always try to help others. You always extend yourself to try and be there. I mean, I always try and do that as well, but I'm inspired by people like you, you know, and this is, listen, we have to do this for each other, all of us. You know, all of us out there. You know,
it is the community.
It's what it's about.
Yeah. And we play such a transformative role in people's lives. When we're in housing finance, we are in the fourth most transformative thing that can happen in people's lives. I get asked a lot of things. And the first thing is to have a powerful religious experience. Second thing, have a wonderful marriage. I'm blessed with both. And the third thing is to watch your children be born. I've been there. And I know you. I know how passionate you are. I see Dan and Nicole. I love both of your kids. Dan and I get to interact so regularly. And he has picked up and imitating his dad in such a great way. What a brilliant young man.
He's a great boy. He's like 2.0. And I've got two younger boys as well. And you know, Jake and Jared are amazing, amazing individuals. So, yes, I'm very lucky. And you want to try and do the very best you can to make sure you continue to teach them. But, you know, life, in my opinion, it's about relationships, whether it's relationships with your kids. And the other thing, too, is that, look, I start every, and you know this about me because we know each other. You know, every day I start my day off with prayer, but with gratitude. The first thing is gratitude.
Yeah.
And look, baby,
grateful heart.
My upbringings are extremely modest. I was very poor, as I mentioned. But for me, it's like, look, things can always be better, but goodness gracious, could things always be a lot worse and so quickly? So, I mean, you know, what if things could change for the worse? I mean, really, how lucky are we? Heaven forbid, I would never wish this of anybody, but if you ever had a nagging pain or something like that, and you had a toothache even, okay? When your tooth doesn't hurt, you don't think, oh man, I'm glad my tooth isn't hurting, unless it was the day after it got better or the next day or whatever. And then you forget about it and you take it for granted. What I'm saying is that things can change so quickly. Just because you don't have a toothache doesn't mean you shouldn't be grateful and feel blessed that you're in a good position. If you've got your health, if your things are going well, sure, they can always go better. But there's so much to be appreciative for. And if you start off with that outlook every day, you start off that way, David, it changes you as a human being. You can always spot out the people who are grateful for what they have instead of miserable for what they don't have.
There's so much in just that. I love an attitude of gratitude and then being cheerful and then trying to make a difference in people's lives is so important. Let's talk about some of the challenges. I could stay on that topic for a long, long time. But I want to shift gears slightly as we get close to wrapping this up and talk about what do you think are the biggest challenges facing leaders today and how would you advise the leaders that are in place? And then we're going to talk about future leaders. What are the biggest challenges facing leaders today?
Well, the biggest challenge is communication. Leadership is, look, let's start with just like with your kids, because you better be a great leader to your kids, you have to pour into them knowledge, and you also have to know when to. You know, you have to plant seeds when the ground's fertile, not when it's dry. So you know, when your kid has a thirst for it, when your employee has a thirst for it, teach them. When they're asking questions, don't ignore that time. The ground's very fertile for you to do some teaching at that time, and I know that it's hard, but you're not spending time, you're investing it. Okay. And if you can't at the moment do it, make a note to yourself to come back to it and do it. Here's the magic. If you don't ever want to lose employees because you don't want, it's not pay them a little more or give them a nicer desk or, you know what it is? Make them better. Because that's the one thing that they want. If they continue to learn from you and they get better from you, that's far more valuable than a small difference in dollars. Because what you will do is you will give them wealth beyond that. So what you have to do is you have to work with the individuals that you have in a way that helps make them better. Take an interest in them. And here's the other things that you need to consider as well. When you're teaching somebody something or asking somebody to do something, you should have a rule never to say, hey, just do this. Always explain why. Give the reason. Share the motivation. Share what the ultimate goal is. Some people put a mission statement out and then they forget it. Well, what we do here at MBS Highway is we share with people who don't see it, like the tech team. We talk to them about how much money we've saved people or how we've made a change in their life or many more transactions or realtor relations and the difference that we're making. So they see that we've got 7 people full-time here in our office on the tech side and we're hiring 2 more. The work that they're doing, what the impact is on people's lives. And that inspires them. And I think that's the magic here. See, if you can get people to buy in, I don't expect you to get consensus, okay? But you have to make hard decisions in business. And instead of doing it in isolation, a great leader explains to his team or her team that life is not about perfect. Life is about choices. And what you want to do is make the best choices knowing full well that it's not perfect. Because if you go out there trying to come up with a perfect plan, somebody will always find the imperfections and poke holes. But if you get consensus, if you say, here's the direction we're going, and please believe in us, we have examined this, there's pitfalls everywhere. It's just like a doctor. If a patient comes in and complains for ailments of the doctor could say, well, we could have surgery, but here's the negative side of it. We could have treatment, this and that. We can give you this medicine, but you have these bad side effects. But if you do nothing, the patient's going to die. So what you want to do is choose the best option, even knowing that there's some negative aspects of that option, but you want to do what's best.
Great analogy.
And that's how business decisions are made the same way, David. There's very, very, ever rarely a perfect one. They have side effects. Let your team understand that you're making a choice of the options available. So don't get consensus, but get buy-in. And this is how you begin to inspire. You inspire by bringing people with you. You inspire by being transparent. You inspire by bringing knowledge. You inspire by taking an interest. You inspire by setting an example of how you handle adversity. Mm-hmm. When something comes up that's problematic, if you do the right thing, even if it costs you, even if your written agreement says that you don't have to do this, but you do that, you inspire people to know that you will do the right thing, that when it comes to them, you'll do the right thing. And trust is what it's all about. Listen, nobody here has ever asked me for a raise, and that's because before they ask, I want to show them that I appreciate their worth. So they receive it before asking.
That's
and I
so
think
good.
That's something that people in life feel unappreciated. And if you, as their leader, show that you really appreciate them, you value them, you recognize their worth, people will do extraordinary things on your behalf and show extraordinary loyalty to you because you've been inspired
we could turn
them
this,
and they trust you.
I tell you, there's so much there. We could turn this interview into a week-long class because there's so much wisdom in you, Barry, that you're putting out. The last question I really have is someone seeking to become the next Barry Habib or to just attain a good leadership position in their area, wherever that is, in the industry or in the markets, what would you say is the most important thing that they focus on to develop themselves as good leaders?
Well, I'm honored that you mentioned me as that. And I would say if you're going to have someone, something or a target or a model, don't just try and be the next, but be the next improved level. That's what I tell my kids
all the
time, right?
Yeah.
You know, so don't just say live up to it. Just exceed and surpass and be 2.0, 3.0, be better. And a lot of the same principles that we just talked to of what a good leader does is what a aspiring leader needs to
exhibit. That's what I wanted to do. Yeah.
Because, David, you can lead up. You don't have to just lead down. You could lead sideways, and you can lead up. You can lead up by doing the right thing, by teaching, by making others better, by inspiring, all of the exact, by understanding and appreciating the worth of others. If you do that, you can't help but be a leader. You can't help it because people
will come around you on that. They'll, you'll find yourself people just gathering around you, and you're going to be in that role before you know it. That's such good advice, Barry. Wow.
Here's the thing is that people say, well, you know, that person is pretty magnetic. Here's the secret to being magnetic. The secret to being magnetic is everyone who leaves your presence after they've been with you, whether it's on the phone or whether it's in person, make them feel better and smarter. Hmm. That's all.
That's good.
If you do that, they will want more of that. And they will be drawn to you, and you will then be magnetic. But now, while that's easy to understand and easy to say, what it requires is it requires doing the work to enable you to do that for others.
Yes.
So you have to invest in yourself. And here's the focal point of the aspiring leader, is continuously develop and focus on yourself so you can grow and help others grow. And those people that are in leadership positions, any business that you have, you have to grow yourself so you can help others every single day. Every single day. Would you go to a physician who got their license and can practice but then never learned anything new that's going on? Heaven forbid. You'd want to run like that, okay?
Yeah.
You want the physician that is ever learning on the best and least invasive and most beneficial ways to help their customer base. You need to do that for your customers, for your employees, for your family every single day.
And you're doing that every single day through MBS Highway and then through speaking, through so many things. Barry, what an inspiration this conversation has been, again, to me, and I'm sure to thousands who will listen to this. Thank you so much for being here with me today.
It is my pleasure. Listen, I consider myself a student, and that's the truth. I truly try to learn so much every day. So I'm more of a student than I've been blessed with the ability to sometimes be a teacher, but I consider myself
you
a
are.
Student.
Well, you're a good student, but you're one heck of a speaker. If you have an opportunity, listener, to get out and hear Barry speaking anywhere, it's worth the ticket of what the mission to get into that event. Go listen to him. But you can listen to him every day by signing up for the MBSHighway.com experience. It's an experience. It's tremendous. You can learn from him there. And you'll get to hear from Dan, his son, who's coming up fast in the industry. Barry, thank you so much. Encourage people to sign up for your website. I really love you and appreciate you. Thanks for being an example.
God bless you, my friend. God bless everything that you're doing. And those of you that are listening, I just wanted to take a moment and thank you for spending time and allowing me to share some thoughts with you. But I want to wish you just health and happiness, prosperity, and love for this year ahead.
Yeah, that's awesome, Barry. Thank you so much. Listeners, share this virally out with the world. This is important to do. Thank you, Barry. Appreciate you so much.
Thanks, brother.
Thanks for listening to Lickin' on Leadership, a weekly podcast about leaders in the mortgage industry. Tune in next week, and thanks for listening.